City Hall, this is Karen.
Was that for Councilmember Taylor? Is that what you said?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We envision a distinctive community that prospers well and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you very much. Next on the agenda is the approval or look at the general meeting minutes from January 11th. If any council members have comments or corrections to the minutes, please email our clerk. Next up is the EOC COVID-19 work session update. So Travis, whenever you are ready. Hey, Travis, I see that you're unmuted. I don't know if you're speaking, but we can't hear you. Okay, well, maybe we'll come back to Travis. Okay, so we'll go to our city administrator. Tom, are you ready?
Sure. So good evening. I have a couple of items of information for everyone. We have applied to Homeland Security for emergency disaster funds. Our application has been submitted and we're waiting on one of two funding streams. We're hoping that the feds will also issue a declaration of emergency for our area, for our state, and then FEMA will be able to fund many of the projects for communities that are recovering from the December 1 and 2 storm with the flooding and the landslides, et cetera. So we've got our paperwork in. We're waiting for identification of which funds are going to be used. The state has about $1 million in its emergency funds, which likely isn't going to cover all of the damages that's been done around the state. Big shout out to Councilmember Taylor and Justin March Banks for providing a lot of the detail for that submission. They were on site doing a lot of that work and were able to provide me with the specific information to put in for our claim for reimbursement. So thanks to Mike and Justin. Marine Highway's operating schedule is out. You may have had a chance to look at it. I think we lucked out this year. We're getting a three times a month schedule with the exception of May. We're looking at week one and week three and four of the month. It's a turnaround similar to last year. One day in Juneau, and then, of course, traveling on the other 2 days. You may have also noticed that DOT is not going to bring the Lakati back to port until the end of April. That is because the state is going to have the hoist motors installed at the ferry dock. It takes about 11 days to complete. We were hoping that they would be able to put those hoist motors in while the Lakati was in the yard. However, the contractors or the manufacturers were not able to provide the motors during that time. And it looks like work couldn't begin until the second week of March, and the motors wouldn't be available until later that month. And then the contractor plans to mobilize on April 12th to finish up the work. So we should have regular scheduled ferry service April 26th. The contractor said that they could move it to May if the community wanted to, but also mentions that there's the possibility of the Lakati requiring more time for the overhaul period. We've seen this before, and it's not something that is not a possibility. And therefore, April might be a better choice because the Lakati, if coming out of the yard late, we wouldn't have any impact to our otherwise scheduled service. So right now, the idea is to have the hoist motors installed in April and then service start up April 26. We had the boat launch at the Salmon River Small Boat Harbor. Work has been completed. We mentioned that last month during the general meeting. There's some photographs here of the work that was done. Again, a big shout out to Ben Sadler, our Marine Facilities Coordinator, and Justin Marchbanks for getting the work turned around quickly. And again, a big thanks to Councilmember Taylor for getting the permitting work done so that we could get the work at the launch done prior to season starting. So L3 Harris has requested a lease of city property over by the airport where you see the communication towers. They're looking to co-locate some dishes with ACS, but needs a space to put in a cabinet to hold batteries and other utility equipment. We were proposing to provide them the lease at about $630 a year. The area you can see there is relatively small. They would need an access easement to get to their cabinets. We don't see where that would be an impact to future use of the rest of that property. So if there's any objections or concerns about that, please let us know so that we can address that. Otherwise, we're looking at drafting up the lease and getting it to the mayor and off to L3 Harris so that they can finish up their reviews of the lease and have this ready for springtime. That's all I have to report on, unless there's some questions.
Thanks, Tom. Any council questions for Tom on his report? Okay, doesn't look like it. Thank you. Okay, should we try again with Travis for his report? Are you there, Travis?
I think I am this time. I switched to my phone.
Excellent. We can hear you. Thank you.
Travis, we're not hearing you.
How about now? You got me?
We got you now.
Ooh, there you go. Well, I just want to thank everybody that showed up to the Good River Bed and Breakfast Fire the other day. That was a huge thing, that workload that was added to my tasks of stuff. So I want to thank everybody that's helped out through that process and getting that going, and all the volunteers that's helped them getting that back and going. So that's pretty sweet. On to COVID stuff. I just want to, I sent out, I think what I've considered one of my better newsletters of the week with a lot of good information in there. The one thing that I can add is Search gave me their numbers today on testing. We've tested 1,750 people total. As of right now, there's no test pending unless you've tested on it since Friday. There hasn't been a flight out since then. So, and 9 positive people through the Search number, which is 12 total for us all together. So anyways, that's the total testing number. If you guys read through my report, I've been working with the state since the last little outbreak that we had on trying to round up some more equipment to help Search. And anyways, I've and just got the last little part of the paperwork verified today that we're the city fire department will be getting a rapid test machine and some antigen testing along with all the testing supplies that it'll take to run that. I've proposed to doing it as a backup for the Search facility when we have outbreaks and we're trying to test close contacts, and also to test students for traveling for sports programs and coming back, or any extracurricular activities that are going on. I propose to do 20 people 3 times a week, but I'll be working with Dr. Liz Olson, who kind of oversees the school testing, but all the school Smart Start plans and all of that stuff. She oversees the guidance on those. So I'm going to work with her over the next coming week or so as the machine's getting shipped here to get that in this service, which is going to be pretty good. Also on the testing scene is that I heard in one of my meetings that the state is working on a program right now to run through Department of Public Health, through the public health nurses. It'll be a reimbursable program for jurisdictions to get into, where we can do asymptomatic testing and set up a program to do that as well. So there's a lot of testing capabilities that are going to be coming into the town here in the near future. So we should be getting back up on our numbers of having lots of tests going through. So while we're talking about testing, the state numbers you guys have noticed are really low lately, 8,500 and stuff like that. Just if you guys look on the other end of it on how many tests that we're running throughout the state, we were running about 10 to 11,000 per day at the peak of it at the end of November. And we're running just below 4,000 tests per day now. So the numbers aren't what we're not testing the same amount of people in the state that we were once. So something I wanted to add in there. Vaccines have been going through the community. Roughly about 150 people have had their second dose or first dose of vaccine, and about 105 of us have had a second dose of our vaccine. The second dose for the other 100 people come in. I think we're doing that on the 10th, if I remember right off the top of my head. And we have rumor that we might be getting a extra 50 doses on top of that to also distribute that day. So Lisa and the clinic staff are working on the list and all of the people that are on that to prioritize those people. The way that that works, if you didn't read this again, is that there's a tier system that the state has, and then CERCH kind of has their own sub-tier system inside of that. They kind of do their own thing a little bit, but it's really similar to the state's. They just have a few subcategories. But anyways, as people sign up, they get classified into a tier. Healthcare workers and frontline workers are kind of higher up on the list. So as more of those people sign up, they get bumped up. So this next 50 doses, I know maybe 3 or 4 doses of some people that fall into the first tier are going to get those. And then we go down to number 2s and 3s and 4s and so on. We've got, last I looked, we had about 175 to 200 people left that are on the list that still want a vaccine. So that's pretty good. We'll have a huge number of our population vaccinated here shortly that want it. And the last thing I just want to add to that is, still to this date, the science doesn't say that the once you're vaccinated that you can stop wearing your mask or stop social distancing. You're still a carrier of it. You just reduce the symptoms or stop the disease from happening to you. There is some science out there that's suggesting otherwise, but until that's proven, we're not going to go that route yet. So anyways, thanks to everybody that's been helping out in the vaccines and doing everything else to help COVID be reduced to a very small number here. I was speaking to Dr. Liz Olson the other day in one of our meetings. I've had her in a couple meetings recently with the school and with also a small one with just some city staff. She was very pleased to hear that we've still only have 12 cases in our community and said, keep up the good work in our town. So she thought that was pretty awesome that we're still this low. Anyways, if you have any questions, thank you. I'm here.
Thank you, Travis. Any council questions for Travis's report?
Travis, Joe Vanderzanden here. I just wondered what the current requirements were for out-of-staters that have had both of their vaccines, other than masks and distancing. Is anything else required of them?
So your question is, if you had both of your vaccines and you're traveling as a non-state resident back into the state or into the state, is that correct?
Yes.
You still have to have negative test results 72 hours prior to coming in. And follow that whole thing. Like I said, you're still a carrier of the COVID disease, I guess, or of the virus. So you can still spread it to somebody else that hasn't been vaccinated or isn't wearing their mask or following the wonderful mitigation procedures set by our state. Does that answer that?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, thank you.
And there's, just to add to that, Joe, in all of my airport meetings I have about the point of entry testing, it's talked about all the time, but there's nothing in the works of changing that in the immediate future. We're waiting to see what the science says on what the vaccine will actually do before they make any bold jumps into just opening up the state as normal.
Any other council questions for Travis? Councilmember Clark, go ahead.
Travis, I misheard you. By getting the shot, it makes you a carrier. Is that correct?
Kind of, yes. So it doesn't make you a carrier. What it does is it only stops the symptoms. It reduces the symptoms or stops you from having the symptoms of the virus. It doesn't stop you from catching the virus and passing it on to anybody else. There aren't any respiratory vaccines similar to the flu shot that actually do that. The flu shot does the same thing. You still just block the symptoms from your body, and you still could pass it on to people without you knowing you had it.
Will the second shot mitigate that? Do we know that?
The science is not saying that yet, but they are studying it. One thing that I have read on mainstream news, and our epidemiologist, Joe McLaughlin, has been talking about it for, I would say, close to 3 weeks now, is that what they are seeing is that at least in the Pfizer and the Moderna technology is really similar to the Pfizer. They're just 2 to 3 weeks behind on their studies because that's just where they entered the process. The Pfizer study showed that it creates 20% more antibodies after the second shot, and your 2 weeks of building the antibodies, you create 20% more antibodies, fully healthy immune system, than you would by catching the virus, the real virus. They think, and they're studying, that that will stop the transmission of the virus, but it's not out there yet. Our epidemiologist has said this would be the first vaccine, respiratory vaccine ever to do something like this. And maybe the first, I think he said it was the first vaccine since polio to do this.
Thank you.
Other council questions or comments for Travis? Okay. Thanks, Travis. Next is our city clerk's public outreach update.
Thank you. So one of the big goals for the council was to improve our outreach to the public, and we've been working on that. So in addition to our usual outreach sites at our local bulletin boards at the city hall, post office and library, and our website and the news group, we've launched the city hall as well as the emergency operations center Facebook pages on January 18th. And the last time I looked, I didn't get a chance to look today. I apologize for that. But the last time I looked, we had 83 followers on the city page and 50 on the emergency operations center page. So people are following that, which is great. I know we've got more since then. I just didn't get a chance to get an update on that number. So it's requiring a little bit of time, but the full impact of time required with these new sites for me as a part-time clerk isn't really known yet. But I do, if it does get crazy, I do have the support, backup support of Councilmember Lewis and Mayor Cannamore. So that's good. Having a municipal Facebook site is not just like having a personal Facebook site. It's not just a click of a button to post something. There's a lot more to it. Along with that, since we've launched it, reviewing the social media policy and procedure and guide that former council member Erin Olson had created. She put a lot of time into that. It's a really been a great start. And now that we're up and running, I see that we probably need to make some adjustments to that. So I've been reviewing that, and council member Lewis has offered to help me with that. We also have an archive company that archives everything on all three of our Facebook sites, including the library, called Archive Social. And everything's being archived at this point, but there's some other services that this company provides. And one of them is an automated records retention schedule that I can set it up to automatically destroy stuff when it's ready for it to be destroyed. There's a process for that, and one of them is the certificate of records retention, records destruction, which is on the consent agenda. I can set it up to do that automatically, but I found when I was trying to set that up that there's a few problems with our records retention schedule. It doesn't really match for social media stuff, so we might have to make some changes in that in order to make that part of the services that Archive Social provides work. The news group with the little note that we put into people's stimulus package for the community worked really good. We're reaching over 525 people at this point. So anytime we send something out on our news group email, it's going out to 525 plus people. And the last update I have is the bulletin boards, the new bulletin boards at the library and the city hall. They're still a work in progress. The cork that we initially installed in there is bubbling, and so it makes it a little hard for it to work. And we have new cork that's coming that will hopefully hold up better. And that's all I have. I just wanted to give you guys an update on all that's happened in the last month and let you know that we are getting the word out there to the people in different ways now, and hopefully that's helpful. If you guys have any questions, that'd be great. I'd be happy to answer.
Any council questions or comments for Karen's report? Okay, I did a little browse while Karen was giving her report. There are currently 79 people who like the city Facebook page and 90 followers. So if you are listening and you haven't jumped on that yet, take a look. Karen and Councilmember Lewis put a lot of good hard work into it, and it looks really nice. So go check it out if you're on Facebook. Okay, next is item 8, moving on to the consent agenda. The first item on there is the certificate of records destruction. Is there any council comment or questions about this item?
I just have one little comment to add to this certificate here. If I get a chance, I may add more items to this. So when you get your official general meeting packet, it may look just a little bit different than this if I have more items to add.
Okay, if there's no council discussion about this item, we'll go ahead and move on to item 9. This is the introduction of the AMLIP Gravel Pit Fund opening, and we will open this for public hearing on March 8th of this year. Is there any council question or discussion about this NCO? Travis, did you want to add something?
Nope, sorry. Nope, my finger got a little antsy.
That's okay. It's nice to hear Arlo. Okay, so no council discussion on this NCO to be introduced next month. Or yeah, I guess that is next month, March. Gosh. Okay, gonna move on to item 10. This NCO is an introduction for the road maintenance budget, and we'll also have a public hearing for this on March 8th. Any council discussion or question about this item? Councilmember Taylor, go ahead.
I was just going to suggest that maybe Tom could comment on this. As I understand, we're setting this up in advance, expecting to get something out of our request to the state for assistance for the flood repairs. And we've just put this $75,000 in as a holding amount. Right now, we don't have the money in yet, and we would presumably get something that's different than $75,000. So we would amend the amount when it comes up in the general meeting for approval. Is that right, Tom? Did I get that correct?
Thanks, Mike. Well, yeah, pretty much what we have is a situation because of the flooding that we exhausted our roads maintenance budget, and we need to move money into road maintenance now to be able to fund our normal routine kind of road maintenance issues like snow plowing and grading, etc. So we have to move this money over into our roads budget anyway. We're hoping that we'll receive reimbursement from the application that we submitted to Homeland Security and hopefully to FEMA. Those funds will offset this transfer of funds with this NCO. But we do need to move these funds over so that we can balance out our roads maintenance budget that's running in a deficit now.
But this this shows that the income, I mean, it's showing us income from the state. If we didn't get that, we would have to change that line to moving it from our AMLIP savings somewhere, I take it. Go ahead.
Yeah, correct. So we're going to move this money over, but because of the process taking two readings, we don't want to have to go that long without any money in our roads budget. So the expectation is that we'll get a check for our disaster funds for the flooding event, and we'll be able to put all of the money that we've spent back into that account. Worst case scenario, that money doesn't come through. We're still transferring these funds over into roads so that we can continue with our road maintenance requirements.
Thanks, that helps.
Thanks, Mike. That was a good question. Any other council questions or discussions for this NCO? Okay, moving on from the consent agenda to item 11, which is under ordinance for public hearing. This item is FY21-15 revisions of the city ordinance Title V dealing with elections. This was introduced on January 11th. And so this has been on our radar for a little while now. Any council questions or discussion about these revisions for the Title V? Okay, not seeing any. Again, would really like to thank our clerk for making the revisions of this title. It's pretty extensive. So thank you, Karen, for working so hard on that. Moving on to the next item under new business. This is dealing with the future award of the gravel contracts. We need the request in to City Hall by February 8th, and then we will award these later on. Is there any question or council discussion or debate about this item? I guess I have a question now that I'm reading through this one last time. Is it correct that the request must be received on the same day that they're awarded? Or is that okay?
I can speak to that.
Thanks, Phoebe.
Yeah, this is just how we've done it traditionally in the past. We put out the solicitation on February 1st, and then at the last, the people interested submit their forms by on Monday the 8th, and then I prepare the information for the general meeting. And so I'll have all the numbers and the requested amounts for anybody interested for discussion and award at the general meeting.
All right, thanks, Phoebe, that sounds great. Any other council discussion or question? Councilmember Buckeye, go ahead.
Yes, and I was wondering if anybody could answer how this process will be affected by the depletion of pit run in the gravel pits out there. I noticed to excavating to a depth of 12 feet, is that the point at which we run out of pit run using the existing extraction methods?
I can answer that for you, John. The depth is the limitation for the existing equipment to be able to access the material. They can't go beyond the 12-foot depth. Does that help?
Yeah, that does. Thanks.
Any further council discussion about this item? Okay, moving on to item 13. This is a resolution providing for submission of capital improvement funding requests to the legislator. This was an extensive list that has a great amount of items that we've been that have been on our radar for a long time. So hopefully all the council members got a chance to look through all of those items. Is there any council discussion or question about this resolution? Phoebe, go ahead.
I just wanted to make a quick introduction. Karen, if you could go back up to the resolution. What I submitted in the packet was anything that's highlighted yellow is language from the resolution the council passed last February or January or February. So those are the projects that I entered into the system for requesting capital projects from the state legislature. And so these projects have all have scoping. Let me back up. When anytime we're doing a capital project before the project can proceed, a scoping document needs to be approved by the council. And so before we can request any projects to the state with this resolution, we need to have scoping passed by the council. And so the projects on here have scoping approved already because we submitted it last year. All of these projects are still projects that have not been completed, with the exception of item number one on the list at the bottom there. I already took it off. The AED monitor was on here from last year, and I took that part off. All the rest of these projects are still available if the council would like to include any or all of them. And if we have different projects that you would like to include on the resolution, then we need to ensure that scoping has been done for them before we can add them to this list. And we can do that at the same meeting. And this is different from the operating budget. I know I say that all the time. This is all funded. Capital projects are things that were funding out of savings. And in the past, the state had helped with, but they haven't been unable to in recent years because of the budget situation for the state.
Thank you, Phoebe. Councilmember Taylor, go ahead.
I guess I direct this to Tom. Tom, do you think we should be putting in something as a placeholder or to get us on to get it on the list for new extraction equipment for the gravel pits? I mean, we'd be looking at a $300,000 ask or something like that. We have some pricing available from Justin Marchbanks on suction dredges and so forth that would get us into the ballpark. I realize we'd have to do a scoping document, but I'm wondering even if it's not likely we'd get it this year, at least we'd be getting it into the queue as something that we need. Do you think we should be trying to do something about that? Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Well, the issue with our material availability is one we have talked about, and we have discussed the different extraction methods last year. We were planning on some trips to Juneau to look at the suction dredge in practice to see if we thought that was going to work for us. And Glacier Bay Construction did have a source for the bucket system. So we have some general ideas for both of those methods. We could do a scoping document that was general enough in nature that we could utilize the funds for either one of those options. I could try to put a scoping document together to do that. We are going to need to address it. So whether we use it for the state CIP or if we want to move that into the council discussion for CIP projects, it's one that's going to need to be addressed. So I guess that was a long answer to your question. Yes, I think we probably should have something to address future options, and maybe this will generate a better discussion on how we want to proceed. So I'll work on getting a scoping document ready for addition to this resolution. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. I'd be happy to help on that. If you let me know how I can help. One other question, can somebody fill us in on this rumored $300 million bond issue that the state might sell to get funding, to get money to fund capital improvement projects across the state? Is that how they would fund capital improvement projects for this year, or is that for somewhere in the future, or is that some separate deal from the regular capital improvement process?
I was on an AML Zoom meeting where they talked about that being one of the avenues that the state was looking at, because we're looking at a difficult revenue year given some of the federal actions in revoking permits and canceling some of the proposals for work up north. So I have not seen anything more concrete other than mentioning the bond as one avenue. Part of that discussion also had the state sales tax and some of the other revenue generators from the past. Maybe somebody else has more concrete information, but that's all I've heard was from that AML Zoom meeting.
Tanya, I see that you have your hand up, but I'm wondering if Phoebe has something to add to the discussion that we were just having. Phoebe, do you want to add anything to what was just being said?
Yes, thank you. The council passed scoping for gravel pit extraction on May 13th, 2019 for $500,000. So if that document still looks appropriate, then we're already covered there, or it could be, but we do have one that's already passed for May of 2019.
Excellent. Thank you, Phoebe. Councilmember Lewis, go for it.
Yeah, thanks. I was just wondering, as far as, you know, this list of five items that are on the resolution now, have we checked in with all our employees in the different departments? I mean, are these the priorities? Because the document that Phoebe sent out earlier had a lot of other things too, like a cistern and, you know, just a lot of little stuff. And I'm just wanting to make sure, how do we make sure that these are still the priorities for the different departments?
Phoebe, go for it.
I sent out the old capital improvement plan from last year to the departments and asked for revisions and received very few. I began editing last year's plan with moving things around. Some things were accomplished through CARES funds, including the cistern setup. So as far as I know, these are all, I know that, yes, looking at that list of five, those are all still priorities. And I did not hear otherwise when I sought departmental input before bringing it to the council.
Great, thank you.
Councilmember Owens, I saw that your hand was up. Do you still want to speak, or are you good?
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. I was just wondering, in the absence of a completed strategic plan, if having items on our CIP list would be helpful in seeking grants for some of these items. I think that might be a question for Tom.
Thanks, Shelley. Absolutely. One of the areas that we score points on is showing, demonstrating that these are not only projects that need to be done, but they're a priority, things that have been thought out prior to submitting for a grant opportunity. So USDA may pop up this season with a grant for hazardous waste facilities. And if we can show that we have a history of needing assistance in that area, like with the CIP plan, it helps us score much better than if we just added it so that we would qualify for the grant. So the CIP is a very valuable tool for applying for grants. Thanks for asking that question.
All right, thank you, Tom.
Is there any other council question or discussion for this resolution concerning CIPs? Okay. That's everything on the agenda. Are there any city council reports? Oh, Phoebe, sorry, go ahead.
So I just wanted to clarify. So I should add in a whereas for the gravel pit extraction, and then we'll leave the other five items on there. Is that the I should prepare for the general meeting packet?
Yes, please. Thank you.
And then one more question I had was, I would like to encourage us to think about setting up a work session just to start working on the capital improvement plan that I had emailed out and is in this work session packet. That's not up for consideration yet at the general meeting, but it's something we should start discussing in case the council decides they'd like to fund any projects for this year, that we can get those that kind of solidified and prepared by spring so that departments can take advantage of the summer.
Phoebe, is there kind of a deadline for when you would like to have that work session? I'm wondering if we should try to schedule that tonight while we've got everybody here.
There's not really a deadline yet. To the state, which is usually mid-February, although they haven't announced it yet. So that was what drove the resolution consideration. We could wait a few more weeks just because we seem to be getting more and more. The longer we wait, the more information we have financially. But then we're going to start getting involved in the budget process too here shortly. It'd be nice to have it on the agenda by April or May at the latest. You could set a date for later in February or push it off till March, but not beyond that would be my recommendation.
Do any council members have thoughts about having a work session at the end of February to allow us a couple more weeks to get more information? Does anybody have issues with maybe the last week of February? Okay, I'm going to pick a day then. And how about the last Monday? I don't have a calendar pulled up. Maybe Karen can, the 22nd. Does anybody have issues with February 22nd at 5:30? Going once, going twice? Okay. Then we'll go ahead and schedule that meeting for February 22nd at 5:30. Does that sound good, Phoebe?
Yes, thank you.
OK. Okay. Any other council discussion on CIPs before we move on to reports? Alrighty. Any council members have reports that they would like to share? Okay, I'll share a little bit. On the 27th of January, Travis, myself, and Claire, the public health nurse, Bruce Hoke, who is the superintendent of the Chatham School District, and a few regional school board members met to have a sort of build a work group. And the meeting went pretty well. I think there, we can give you a full report if you'd like, but it was mostly just kind of like a meet and greet and kind of just putting feelers out for what folks are doing, how the school's operating. And twice monthly meetings were set up, the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And John Buckeyt, Councilmember Buckeyt, kindly agreed to take my place in those meetings as they happen while I'm at work. So thank you, Councilmember Buckeyt. And I've had one meeting since then, and John took some pretty great notes that I'm sure he'd be happy to share with council members if you ask him about it. That's kind of the only report that I have. So any other council members? Go ahead, John.
Thanks, Mayor. And thanks for bringing up the meeting between the Chatham School District, Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, and the City of Gustavus. Last Wednesday, I attended that meeting with Travis and myself from the city, the superintendent of Chatham School District, as well as Principal King from the school, James Wagner from the Regional School Board, and Elizabeth Hoogie, the president of the Regional School Board, and Dr. Liz Olson with the Department of Health and Social Services, as well as Claire Geldhoff, the public health nurse for this region. And Dr. Olson and Nurse Geldhoff were very helpful. They had a lot of great suggestions and brought to bear some of the most recent research into mitigating COVID and the spread of COVID. Much of the discussion was focused around school athletics and the basketball season that's underway, the basketball practice season that's underway. There were a lot of recommendations that the healthcare professionals made about mitigating risk related to COVID and school athletics. And we'll be meeting again in about a week and a half. And if any of you have thoughts about that or anything like that, feel free to share it with Travis or myself. And if you are interested in those notes I took from the last meeting, I'm willing to share those as well.
Any other council reports at this time? Any council comments or questions? I've got two last things. One is to remind council members to stop in to City Hall to come sign some checks, please. The other is putting out feelers. I know Tom sent out an email to all the council members asking if any of you would be willing or interested to be a council representative for the lands issue. Previously, Cal was doing that. So you would be dealing with some issues such as the gravel pit. So do any council members, did any council members have a change of heart since Tom sent out the email? I don't think he received any replies. So is anybody interested in that? Okay, looks like it's you and me, Tom. Okay, well, that's all I've got. Do any council members have last minute questions or comments before we end the meeting? Okay, thanks everybody. Have a good night.